You are listening to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and they do this each and every week. For over 3 years now, the guys have played and reviewed almost 200 retro video games. But now, for the first time ever, New Game Plus presents a six-part miniseries called Press Start.
Welcome to New Game Plus. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name's Nolan.
And this is Press Start. We are in part four of a six-part series.
Press Start is a mini-series that we are bringing to you because our patrons are wonderful and have hit some of our goals on Patreon.com. If you want more information about how to support us or similar goals that you can help achieve, check that out. And in the meantime, this Press Start series is all about our corporate, collective, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, our own personal starts with video games. So one through three was a little bit of our story as it relates to getting into gaming and kind of our history there, and hope you enjoyed those. And now we're taking a slightly different direction for the next three episodes.
Yes, so for the first three, as Kenny just mentioned, we talked about our stories, and you can go back and check those out if you haven't listened to them yet. It might be good and foundational for what you're about to listen to in parts four, five, and six, because now, for the next three episodes, we're going to talk about the most impactful video games in our entire lives.
Which is an impossible question.
This was harder than the first three episodes for me.
It actually was.
It really was.
My story, that was difficult just because I have a poor memory. So like I was reaching out to my mom and my dad and my brother, and I was like, tell me what we had and what we played. Mm-hmm. But this was, it could only be me. And so I was trying to go back and remember not only the great games that I played, but the games that actually had the greatest impact on my life as a video gamer.
Such a big question. But I'm excited. These three are also going to be really cool.
Earthworm Jim
is an impactful one. But what we're talking about here in these three episodes, again, is not necessarily the best video games we've ever played. It's also not going to be just the games that we've had the most fun playing. Although both of those might be true concerning some of these games, we are specifically talking about what games had the biggest, most impactful influences on our lives as gamers. And we're going to go in the same order as our first three episodes. So we just decided youngest to oldest. So that starts with little baby Nolan, medium-sized Dustin, and old grandpa Kenny. So with episode four, this one right here, we're going to hear from Nolan. Nolan, can you share with us the most impactful video games of your entire life?
Number one. I'm not going to build suspense like Kenny likes to do, and I'm just going to tell you that it's Sonic the Hedgehog, the first one.
Really?
Really, yeah.
Okay.
Why, does that shock you?
I always knew you were a Sonic fan, but like, I was a little surprised for it to hear a... like, affected me in some important way, kind of...
Again, just to make sure, you're talking about the movie?
let me tell you, Kenny, I'm just going to ignore what Dustin just said. I will explain why Sonic the Hedgehog was a very important game in my life. So, like I mentioned in episode one, I was a Genesis boy. We were a Genesis family at first. I didn't have a SNES. I played friends' SNES and NES, but we had a Sega Genesis, so that was my console. And of course, you don't have a Genesis and not have Sonic, at least one Sonic game. So Sonic for me was the game that is the one that I think back on where it's like, okay, I sat on the living room. It wasn't the living room. It was actually my sister's room on the carpet in front of the TV, Indian style. And wait, I can't say that.
You can, but okay. I think it's crisscross applesauce now.
Crisscross applesauce style formation with my legs, and spent hours with games. So that's what this game meant to me, and I love the character. I always have loved the character, and Dustin joked about a movie. That's coming out. If you're listening to this before it comes out, you shouldn't go see it.
The world has not
ended
yet.
That's coming out. Save your money. If you're listening to this before it's coming out.
Hey, was this your first platformer, or maybe one of your earliest, or...
That's a good question.
A platformer in your life. It came out in 1991. I mean,
yeah, no, it's this is early in my life for sure. I mean, I'm playing it years after it came out too. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I Mario 1 was still my first platformer proper. Okay. But like, this was the first platformer that I like fell in love with.
So
and
yeah,
sunk
was
hours
it the
in.
Most? Was it like one of the most early formational platformers? Because you, mm-hmm. out of all three of us, you're the platformer. You enjoy platforming video games. You're good at it. Watched you play all the way through Mega Man 11. You enjoyed Shovel Knight and some of the other more recent platformers. But is that kind of all because of and a tribute to Sonic the Hedgehog?
Probably. Not like you saying that actually might be... Yeah, true.
Because, I love that.
And I haven't really thought of it that way, because when I think of Sonic, I don't think, wow, what a platformer. It's a platformer, of course, but for some reason in my mind, I always attribute like Metroid to be like the platformer, and it probably is, but...
In my mind, that's kind of how I view Sonic. Like it...
Oh, well.
It doesn't feel like a platform game to me, even though it is clearly a platformer. It plays so differently with the speed and the pace and like the whole... knocking around pinball style uniqueness, you know,
right.
side characters that I don't know. Like, I can't see that being like the defining platformer for somebody, but it could be.
It could be, but I think Dustin's onto something. Like, this one hooked me in a way where like I attribute this game to probably my love of platformers and also why I'm good at them. I sound silly saying that, but I think both of you would have always said that I'm good at platformers, and I think the speed of Sonic honestly trained me at an early age to be good at them. I don't know, I just have, and the characters, like this game taught me that, like, besides Mario and Nintendo, you can have iconic lovable characters that just stay with you, and Sonic 1 is a really special place for me.
And I'd bet to this day, if you have a handful of change and you drop it, you try and pick it all up before you move on.
And that's because of Sonic and his rings? Yeah, I mean, just what a stretch.
See, I don't even... I think I'm way too, like, I'm not on Kenny's IQ level because I don't even catch them. I didn't know where he was
going.
The
most recent ones, I've just listened to... I mean... I've known what he's doing. He gets a tone in his voice, and he starts to do thing like he's this coy, like he loves himself type voice.
Well, I see. I hear exactly it coming. I hear that too. And so I'm listening for it, and I still don't get it. Whatever. Number two for me is going to be Pokemon Red Version. So this is a Game Boy game, and I also talked about this in my episode, how handheld games really... stayed with me like through my whole life up until adulthood. I always had some sort of handheld game going, you know, in the background, either that's my main game or my secondary game. And so Pokemon Red, I remember the Christmas I got it. I opened it up, and I don't know why I remember my position in the room. I was behind the chair in the living room, like I don't know why I was hiding, but I opened it up and was like so hype. So that was 96 or 7 when I got it. So also all my games, this was unintentional, but they ended up being in order of when they came out, which I guess makes sense because I'm kind of tracking through my life. But Pokemon Red Version, I mean, Pokemon is huge today, and it's kind of interesting to me to see how it has progressed throughout the years. And it's at a place right now where it's like, it's affected everyone, or you know about it at least.
No, it's affected everyone. Whether it's Pokemon Red Blue, the card game from back in the day, the modern releases of the Pokemon games, or if nothing else, Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go
infected millions of people. People, y'all probably saw it too, right? Old people walking around or biking around playing Pokemon Go. Pokemon went far beyond just this Game Boy game. It became just a national icon. I don't know what else to say about it. But I do have a question for you because, yeah, I do think it is. It impacted every gamer's life, to some degree. But the question that it comes down to with those that played this earliest version when it came out or around the time that it came out, I've got to know who was your starter. Like, at the very beginning of your Pokemon career,
yeah,
who did you go with? Bulbasaur, Squirtle, or Charmander?
I'll give you one guess.
He's a Charmander boy.
Of course.
I don't know if he is. He is? Okay. Yes, are you still? Are you still?
Yeah, for sure.
See, I honestly would not have gone there. I would have guessed
Blastoise or Squirtle? Because no one picks
Blastoise. You don't pick Blastoise from the beginning?
No, but that's what he evolves. Squirtle
right, no one picks
into.
Bulbasaur. I was thinking maybe Squirtle just because tactics isn't... Charizard's not the smartest to go with at first.
So I think that, yeah, Squirtle's the strongest of the three, but I didn't... But back then, I didn't know
it did not matter. Right, you
stats.
Go with the coolest looking, and on the front of the red cover, I'm pretty sure it's Charizard.
It's Charizard.
So.
Yeah, and... My friend had blue version that lived down the street, so it was perfect. Like, it really was the ideal setup. Like, I had a pretty good childhood because...
Did you guys do the cable link thing?
Oh, yeah. He had that because he was kind of spoiled, so he had the, like, Game Boy light, you know? Like, you didn't have backlights back then, so you had to attach the light, and he had the trade cable, and, yeah, we would play Pokemon, dude. And so that... I think that game for me was, like... something about collecting Pokemon and training them up, because that game to me, that's an RPG game. I think.
Oh, totally.
And so that was maybe my first RPG, and I didn't know it was happening to me.
Sure.
But something about it was like, oh my gosh, like the idea of my team getting stronger and better, like, and not only that, but like I can change it out and put new Pokemon in and like battle. It was.
That's kind of a great question. We could do an entire episode of what's the first RPG that happened to you?
Yeah, because you
like
don't know.
You did, like, you know it when you're getting into like some of the Fallouts, right? Or like Fallout 3,
yeah.
Fallout New Vegas, something like that. You know, because you're setting your stats, it's your character, you change the looks. But Pokemon kind of just happened to you where you're not necessarily changing the stats of the boy or Red or Ash. You're changing, but you are changing the stats of all your your creatures, of all your monsters, you know? And so, yeah, it happened to you. That's interesting. Another question, and you might have just kind of answered it, but like, how do you think now, looking back or looking at your gaming life now, how do you think Pokemon Red impacted the trajectory of your gaming, or like maybe even still now you have an affection for Pokemon and you still play it, or maybe it did open up the door to role playing video games in your life? Like how did it you know impact that trajectory?
I do think that it opened up the door to RPGs or that style of game, because up until that point I didn't know, like I knew the concept of replayability because I had Sonic and you play the same levels, you know, but this one was like you save your game and you come back to it and you train and train and you beat the Elite Four and oh my gosh, I beat the Elite Four. Now what? So it opened the door to long-term gaming, not just sessions, but like a game that you play for years, you know, or could play for years. So I love games like that still, like pick up a game, play it for a little bit, put in the effort, get stronger, come back later. Number three, Super Mario 64. Again, talked about this a little bit in my episode, but this was an extremely important game for me. I think probably for a lot of people my age, because it's Mario, but it's on this new cool console, the N64. And by the way, just dropping this, back in the 90s, commercials for things were awesome and made you want them so bad. And just branding.
Yeah, they were.
The 90s were so cool. Anyways, I had N64. I got it for Christmas, and it came with Super Mario 64. So this character that I know and love, now in 3D... Now in a hub world, an open world style of Mario, not just go from level one to the end. So this, for me, was like, whoa, this is where gaming is headed. Like this, the graphics were incredible, mind blowing to me at that time. We did an episode on the element of the graphics of Super Mario 64 as for an Elements episode, because not only for me, but for the industry, for gaming, these graphics marked something important.
It sounds like you kind of like you liked video games, and I don't know, this might be completely overstepping, but you liked video games, and then Super Mario 64 came around and that started changing into like love for video games. I don't, the way that you're talking about it now is like something changed.
He loved some Charmander already.
He loved Charmander, yeah.
But my parents would say that I loved video games before 64. But I would say you're right that I liked them a lot, but then it turned into love, and like I'm gonna do this the rest of my life in some capacity.
This is the first video game you would have married.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. I would have been your best man. It's another platforming video game, which is not a surprise to me.
Yeah.
But then it's another. I feel like Miyamoto is a part of every single one of your games, because I know he didn't do Sonic, right? But I think it was him and his creations that influenced Sonic. I think that's fair to say.
Yep.
And then he did have a role in Pokemon, and he definitely had a role, like he produced and directed Super Mario 64. I think you're maybe not a Genesis boy, and you're not a Nintendo boy. You're just a Miyamoto boy.
I think that's probably fair to say. He's my hero, for real. Like, I was really jealous of this dude that was like, wait, Miyamoto's not dead.
Can he still not rest in peace? I mean, just be nice to the guy.
I hope he has a good night's sleep tonight, yes. But I also hope he wakes
really
up
really well in bed.
Wait, that was also the longest delay. Like, you kept talking for a good
because
minute.
Because it hit me late. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm a Miyamoto boy because, look, he is involved in almost every one of my like favorite Nintendo games.
We haven't even gone to the next one, but Kenny, you know Zelda's in this list somewhere.
How do you
imagine?
Know?
We'll see, but Miyamoto's a part of that too. I swear, I just discovered it. You're a Miyamoto boy.
Well, look, the guy who produced or created or was in charge of Mario Rabbids, oddly enough, that game got really high praise. It's a strategy game for the Switch. And Miyamoto like went out of his way at one of these events when he was on stage and like had him stand up and like thanked him and congratulated him on the game. And the dude's bawling his eyes out because like that's his hero. I feel like that's how I would react if he said anything about me. Yeah. But dude, Super Mario 64 was important for a lot of people. But I think, yeah, it marked just like a very like a big commitment to me, knowing that I'll play games forever.
With Super Mario 64, what was your aim or goal when you were playing the game back then? Was it like 100% completion? Was it
getting
on top of the castle and seeing Yoshi? Did I just make that up? Or was it just enjoying each of, like exploring and enjoying each of the beautiful stages?
Wow. I honestly don't know. I think I just loved everything that I could get. Like, I'll tell you what, getting to new paintings, like new stages, because you play the same paintings for a while trying to get all the stars there. And when you finally open up a new room because you have enough stars and you're like, whoa, this is a new stage. That's what I played it for. Just like progression.
It was all about that get to the next thing.
Yeah.
The sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, progression for sure.
Isn't it crazy that over 20 years later, that format of what you just described is the same format they're using for Super Mario games today?
Because they're genius.
It's go to one stage, explore it, get all the stars, moons, boxes,
yep,
bodies,
shine sprites,
you know, whatever, shine sprites. Yep. You get all of the things, it unlocks the next painting or world or moon or you
galaxy,
know,
yeah.
It's the exact same thing, but it works, and it works so well.
Number 4, Ocarina of Time.
Miyamoto.
You called it.
Time.
Oh,
Miyamoto,
we're so surprised.
Not only Miyamoto,
no one likes Ocarina
but
of Time.
Koji Kondo, the composer for not only Super Mario 64, but this game and a ton of other games that I absolutely love. Ocarina of Time, we could stay here forever, but I'll try to stay on topic and say that Ocarina of Time marked for me, one, my love for Zelda, my favorite game series, but it also marked my love for adventure games in general. So that was kind of another new genre. Not new, I'd played adventure games before, I'd even played Zelda games before, but y'all know Ocarina of Time is the adventure game. It's the best one. It's got, it was also a turning point for Zelda, a 3D Zelda, a dark Zelda, like not happy. I guess you could argue Link to the Past is a little dark, but just to see it visualized in 3D like that, it was like very significant. And so I don't even know what to say. I'll let y'all ask questions because, like, you have to help steer me because I love this game so much.
I've got one. What was it that sucked you in initially? Was it the adventure? Was it the world? Was it the story? Was it the characters? Was it the puzzling? Like, what was... I'm sure all of it, right? Like, you could answer yes right now, but...
Dude, the commercial. I'm serious. No, listen to me.
Before he even played it.
Listen, I was a kid... And I see something like that, it's new, it's on the N64. And I'm like, wait, Zelda's so cool. Link, look at Link. And then, like, the music, dude, like, they make it so epic. I remember the commercials being very epic. And, like, just, dude, something sucked me in before I even play the game. I don't even know what to attribute it to. Marketing, I don't know. But, like, I wanted this game from the get-go. And when I finally did play it, I think what kept me there, just to answer your question, is there's some you can't explain it, but there's some charm to that game that I get lost in. And immediately got lost in, like, I've got to get out of Kokiri Village and I've got to go save Zelda. Like, and I can't stop playing until I do it.
Have they done remakes and re-releases or re-releases of Ocarina of Time?
Yes.
Not that I'm have they?
Yes.
Why would you answer that?
Yeah, that's a way better Nolan question.
Yeah.
I wasn't asking you.
I feel like they shouldn't. So it's the old curmudgeon.
You might be right.
Talking.
You
have you
right.
played it? Have you played it?
Yes.
Nolan?
Yes.
And?
It's fine. It's not like gross. I wasn't like, why, you know? So it was on the 3DS. They had a version of Ocarina of Time that came out on the GameCube as well. And it was part of it was called the Hyrule Trilogy or something like that. And it had Ocarina of Time and it had some other games on it, Majora's Mask. But the one for 3DS was a true like remaster where like the graphics were updated and a few of the things were different in the game.
Asking the real questions.
Yeah.
Which Ocarina song is the best?
Well, I probably have to go with Saria's song just because it's iconic and it's the Lost Woods theme. But some of the temple songs that you get later in the game are really good, like Bolero of Fire is pretty cool. But yeah, that game, dude, like, it's one of the games that I can go back and play at any time, any year. I like to play it once every other year, once a year if I can, or speedrun it or something, but it's one of the best.
It totally is, and I'm going to jump in just because this didn't make the list for me.
Yeah.
But it was one of the first games that I remember actively using the internet as a resource for.
Oh yeah.
Not completely, but it was that era where, like, I guess it was a little past that era, but it was that era where that was like solidified and a normal thing to do.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the earliest games that I remember getting guidance, not just from other people that had played the game, but just from like the community at large. There were things, I think for me it was getting the Big Goron sword.
Yeah,
that
the
I didn't
trade
know
sequence.
How to do.
Yeah, there'd be no way you'd know.
Yeah, and so I had to go look it up, and sort of the internet and information and gaming go so hand in hand that kind of was just an iconic moment for those things to like touch in my mind.
That's interesting because for me, I did not even think to go look this up on the internet. That as a concept was not like... I didn't realize that was a thing. And honestly,
you were probably
I'm
also
glad.
Playing it like younger. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
okay.
You were still
fair enough. But I'm glad that I didn't have the internet at the time. And that's true for a lot of these games, actually, because the raw experience of exploring and figuring it out on your own is so rewarding that I feel like Absolutely. I would lose so much. And today, probably lose a lot by looking up stuff. Number five. This is way fast forwarded, so don't laugh. But number five
is jumping to like last year.
Is League of Legends, so not quite last year, but there were so many games, of course, in between Ocarina of Time and League of Legends that I loved and enjoyed. But honestly, when I was trying to think of ones that really defined a moment in my life or sparked some sort of significance, I really couldn't think of one outside of League, because League was one of the first games, it's certainly not the first, but one of the first games that I had like a true multiplayer experience with my friends, with my best friends, not just like online. And
it marks the very first game that you ever uninstalled 20 times.
Actually, I never really uninstalled League. I didn't uninstall it. I may have threatened to out of rage, but I would get on with Kenny night or something.
Dustin's the only one that ever actually gave up on that game.
He was the first to drop
out of rage. It was never out of rage. It was out of this is disgusting.
It was out of depression.
And it was out of I spend an hour and lose a game? No thanks.
See, I still that's so we have to like get a doctor to analyze us, because for me Rocket League is that, and you only spend like 10 minutes a game.
Yeah, if
and
that
I
much.
Hate it so much when I lose. But League, I found so much enjoyment out of playing an hour-long game and still losing. Like, I still had fun building my character, winning team fights here and there. But like, okay, so outside of that, we were in Ventrilo, this voice chat server, kind of like TeamSpeak before Discord, just laughing with each other. Like, I was in college, so that's a very important point here. I was in college. I lived an hour away from Dustin. Kenny was, I guess, also there for a little bit, but he was elsewhere. And so we met up online, and it's how I stayed connected with home in a way and built our relationship, our friendship. Kenny, ours was built off of League. I hadn't met you yet.
For sure.
And we bonded over this game, and same with Dustin. Like, League was so fun because the game is designed great. I love the game, but interestingly enough, the significant part of it came from y'all and from like the people I played it with.
Yeah, I mean, we had a blast playing this game. I rag on it a lot. I don't know if that's a thing.
Yeah, it is.
The community, I still say toxic, whatever, but we had so many fond memories of playing this game. I even through those shades of disgust, I remember playing threes with you guys, I think, and
I wish that was still a reality.
And being able to, like, we would have these strategies that we would set up, and some when they would work, there was nothing better than that.
Blitzcrank,
when we lane
blue.
Together. Right, when we do that and you know, and have these strategies.
When they wouldn't work, you'd just blame me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hair
and we're probably right. 90% of the time, if you blame Kenny, you're going to be right. So
not
you
true.
Just go for the blame. But there were so many fond memories with this game. It did help solidify friendships. We would play multiple games a night on average for the most part.
Yes, several. Like, skip class and play. Like, that game ruined me.
And it's a great game. They created a really great game, a really great system, some really great characters, well balanced for the most part.
Yeah.
To your complaint, Dustin, and I have no idea, you know, I've probably played the game most recently of any of us, and I haven't touched it in ages. Hmm. But I wonder if the community is slightly better now that Fortnite exists.
Oh, that's a good point. Hey, listen, I am always down to play, if nothing else, just to play games with y'all. But like, one more point about League is that it was also one of the first games that I realized that, whoa, there's like a thriving community of like millions of people, I guess, not at that time, but thousands and thousands of people contributing to the game, to the discussion. Yes, some toxic, but yes, some meta and some like really constructive stuff. And it was just a cool like time for me and time in gaming. I thought it was a great time. Finally, at number 6, Minecraft. Still in college. This kind of coincides with the timeline of League of Legends. It came out 2 years after League, but I got into Minecraft early on when it was still in alpha, beta stages, and at that time, it wasn't the game it is today. It wasn't as known. It wasn't marked as like your bratty nephew's game that he plays on his iPad, right? It was a PC-only title, and Notch still owned it and updated it. Microsoft had nothing to do with it. Microsoft didn't know what Minecraft was. And at that time, it was the sandbox game of all time. And it maybe still is, actually. But so much freedom was given to me when I started up that game that I was like, I'm completely 100% sold. And so after League of Legends... After League of Sessions,
you would calm down by playing Minecraft.
I would calm. Yeah, exactly. Like, y'all would go to bed. I would be staying up till who knows when because I'm in college and I felt like I was on top of the world. And I played Minecraft and built my underground house and mined for hours. And like the creativity that game just gave you, like it held nothing back. This game just gave it all to you and just said, I don't care. Have fun.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask, and forgive my ignorance. I've never played the game.
Yeah.
What did you do in that game?
that's such a great question.
I know, yeah. You can do different things, right?
But that's how
sandbox,
I am too.
I don't think there's a story, right? I guess
there
you can
now.
Play with other people. But like, what did you do?
Yeah. So there is a story now because, I mean, there shouldn't be, but there is. But at the time, no, it was just... You play it, you start it up, and you're this block guy that is in a randomly generated world, and you survive. There's no creative mode. It's like at nighttime, zombies spawn, skeletons spawn, and they try to kill you. So you just go build a house. That's probably the first thing I did. I punched wood. I punched a tree until I got wood, and then I built a house. And then, you know, I found coal and I made a torch so I could see at night and things wouldn't spawn. And then from there, I built a bigger house. And then I mined tunnels and I made this underground tunnel system. Like, I've had to answer that question a lot where people are like, what's the point? And that's what I absolutely love about the game. It doesn't have a story. It doesn't have a guide. Maybe it does now. It didn't have a guide. It didn't have a point. It was Seinfeld of video games, just... because, and it was about nothing.
You make your point. That's, yeah. Well, and like Kenny and I are the odd ones out very clearly because this mm-hmm. is the second best selling video game of all time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the only video game eclipsing it is Tetris.
Wait, that's weird too.
Yeah,
hold on, so that's so weird.
Tetris has sold the most copies across all platforms in the world, and I think by late 2018, then Minecraft became second. So, like, I would say this about all of yours, and you might not like it or push against it, but I think the majority of yours most modern gamers today, because I think that's going to make the average of age a little bit lower, are going to have a lot of the games that you mentioned in their most impactful, influential games. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, you named some of the greats, right? The Ocarina of Time, Super Mario 64, Minecraft. These are huge titles that had such a huge influence on not a small number of people by any means.
Yeah, no, I'm not offended at that. I think that's true. I mean, most of the people I talk to about video games, if they're like, oh, you play video games, what are your favorites? And I'll, you know... say Ocarina of Time, they're like, oh yeah, like people played a lot of the same games and love them. Maybe there'd be variation here and there. I'd probably hear a Halo for somebody, but for me it wasn't one. But like, I think all of these, I chose all of these because they each made me love video games. At that point in time, I was like, man, I freaking love doing this. Like, it's my favorite hobby and it always will be. So those are my 6 most influential games in my life.
Well, thank you for listening to Nolan as he shared his list of the most influential video games of his life in our fourth episode of Press Start. Make sure to tune in for the final two episodes where you hear myself and Kenny do the same. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is New Game Plus.